You talk about you exploding on the Rick and Morty front.
Oh yeah,
that was
crazy.
Pretty rad.
That was crazy. Rad. People apparently, I don't know if you guys knew this, Rick and Morty, pretty popular show.
Yeah, I thought it was just like niche. It was niche, like cult classic. You know what I mean? I thought it was one of those, but.
My big fucking mistake was not plugging the podcast in that video, but I didn't expect that video to do
the
to
podcast
do
where
like
we talk about Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I should have. I normally throw that in if I talk about a show. I'm like, oh yeah, and check out the podcast. I talked about all four seasons of Rick and Morty, but yeah. For this one, I didn't. And 500,000 views later, here we are. No new listeners.
Man, I want to know how you did that. Not necessarily how the view stuff happened, because nobody knows, but more so I want to know how you were able to put that together, because like,
dude, the funny thing is like I got home on the 4th of July a little drunk, and yeah. I got in bed and I was like, oh, new Rick and Morty, new Tuca and Birdie, gonna watch those. Right. And laid down, watched Rick and Morty, had a pretty good time watching it, and then the end of the episode just like destroyed me, as the title of my video says. And I remember I was like, it got me real emotional, and I was like, this is just because I've been drinking, right? Like, this is just because I've been drinking. And I ended up going to bed, watched half of Tuca and Birdie, fell asleep, woke up the next morning, and I was like, I could totally talk about that episode of Rick and Morty. I could totally do that. So I woke up, chugged some coffee, rewatched the episode. And I was like, I got it. I got like what I want to talk about with this. And I literally just sat there in the morning and I cranked out a script. And it wasn't even like a particularly long script. It's like on the shorter end of my videos. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to try to get this out today. I kind of felt like, oh, a lot of people have the today off because yesterday was the 4th.
Right.
I think a lot of people who make these things are behind because yesterday is the 4th. And I was like, I should just jump on this. I have a feeling like this will, I didn't think it would do these numbers, but I was like, I think this will do pretty good. Yeah, I can jump in and get like snag some views here. I got the video out by like 2:15 PM the next day. And literally in the first hour, actually it was the second hour that the video was up, I got more views that hour than I had the entire previous day. Like it was like insane how quickly those views came in, and on a level that I've never seen views come into my channel. And it was good. It was pretty cool. It also made me very complacent last week. I should have definitely worked on more videos last week, and instead I was just like, look at these views rolling in,
man. I'm taking care. Yeah, you're taking care of, baby. It's all, hey. Listen, I feel you. Man, I just, because, like, seeing you do stuff like that, like, I'm really envious, because, like you said, it's like a shorter video. You knew exactly what you wanted to say. You got in and you got out. I think I am not capable of that. Because
really?
I've tried many years. I tried yesterday. I was like, okay, I got like two sponsorships coming out. I got to hurry up. Let me just make something short. And then, like, I wrote a little bit of notes, and then I started typing out an intro, and then my brain went, no, man, it sucks. Leave. So I just bailed. Like, I'm not even
gonna. I have to push through that, because I'm constantly second guessing myself when I'm writing my scripts. I'm like, this is trash. This is so bad. I hate this. And I just push through and I push through and I push through. And then I reread it and I'm like, I was lying to myself. It's not that bad. Like, this is fine. and this was just one where I was just like, I don't know. I didn't have like much of a thesis with this. I was mostly just like, I kind of did. I was kind of like, this is why I think this episode is so strong and relatable, and why it probably resonated with a lot of people.
Right.
And I wanted to talk about that. I just felt like talking about that.
It was really about like what it does different and what can happen when the show goes for that moment. Cause I remember that being something that you talked about a little bit too, where it's like they just don't do it often, because like a lot of shows like this, they kind of like joke or something really nihilistic. You know what I mean? Like they do that. And that's what got me when I watched it. I was like, oh, they're going for this.
Yeah.
Like really. Like, and yeah, nah, it, when you reacted the way that you did, it didn't surprise me because I was, I felt it. You know, what's funny though is that like, that one, that's the one that got you, but the Tuca episode from that night is what got me.
That dude, the got Tuca me. Got me too.
That got
I,
me. Boy.
I actually, I watched that episode. I've watched that episode 3 or 4 times now. Like I
want to see it again so bad.
It's so good, dude. It's so good. And I'm trying to figure out how to like Tuca and Birdie is a show that I adore so much, and every episode I've loved so far this season. And I just don't know how to write a script about it right now. Like I'm trying to hone in on like what I would focus on in talking about it. And I really want to, because I think the show is probably my favorite animated show that's airing right now. And B,
damn, I actually think I agree.
I can't think of even the like the of the Fox shows like between Rick and Morty, like Archer, like I think Tuca and Birdie right now is my favorite animated show.
I think that's what I get excited for.
Me
like,
too.
That's why I'm like oh shit, Tuca tonight, like you know what I mean? Like I get like that. Kind of sucks because we're recording this when Rick and Morty's on right now, and then we're gonna be mid episode when Tuca starts. But yeah, like. Yeah, I agree. You know what's funny though about that though is that like it took me 3 times to like Tuca and Birdie. I actively tried to like Tuca and Birdie. The first and the second time I watched it, I couldn't like get with it because it was so loud. And
I've heard a lot of people say yeah, that.
And I remember just being like, just slow down. Just hold on, give me a second. But then the third time it clicked, and I think it clicked because, like, I embraced it. Like, right. I was like, all right, I know this is like going to be nuts. I think that's what made it difficult for me before, is that there isn't a single adult cartoon that's like that in that way. There's, like, really bonkers and nuts adult cartoons, like you guys like your South Parks and, like, your Drawn Togethers or whatever. Like, stuff that's just like, fam, what the... Like, you know what I mean? Like, but... Tuca and Birdie is weird because it's really weird, but it's also really sweet. And like they, like it's like, and everything is pretty wholesome. Like it's so it's, and it was, I don't know, it was a lot to take in the first 2 times, but the 3rd time it clicked, and then I finished it, and then they started talking about some really, really dope shit, and they started doing some really dope shit with the characters. And I was like, oh yeah, this the one. But this season though, is nuts.
It's every so episode. Good. Every I can't episode. Wait to talk about that show on this podcast.
I would love to talk about Tuca and Birdie.
We definitely will. I think like we should definitely hold off for a bit. Like I'm hoping and praying that they're already working on season 3, but who knows? Like we gotta know. It's hard to know if they're planning on doing another one or if they're waiting to see how the ratings are, which I think the ratings are like good, not great. They're not definitely no Rick and Morty, but they're not like they're also as good or better than a lot of the other shows that air on Adult Swim anyways. So hopefully, and Adult Swim put a lot of money into advertising it and promoting it and saving it. So I'm like, I'm just hopeful that they're like, let's just give this show a second life here. I would love if the show went 4 or 5 seasons or more, you know, like I just want there to be so much of this show. But at the end of the day, I'm so grateful we got a second season because that first season I loved so much. And I was genuinely so angry when Netflix canceled it. So angry.
It sucked.
Yeah. But it's a great show. It's one we'll talk about. And we'll also, you know, we're like 2 months away from Rick and Morty season 5 finishing. And since we've already talked about seasons 1 through 4, we should probably just do season 5 when it's done.
That's going to be an episode, boy.
I think it's going to be.
They're not going to like me.
Hey, man, there's only been 3 episodes so far, and you liked one of them. So.
I liked one,
but you really liked one.
I did really like one.
Yeah,
like, it wasn't like a oh, okay. It was like a oh nah yeah okay. I really
it's really good.
Yeah,
I'm very eager to talk about it and see what the show has done by the end of the season, because those first 2 I like fine, and the 3rd one I was like, oh, this is Rick and Morty that I like. Like this is the Rick and Morty that I like. So we'll see. Who knows? This we'll see what the future brings us. And if hopefully not, if Tariq, if Tuca and Birdie doesn't get a third season, which hopefully it does, then we'll just immediately want, I'll just want to talk about that. I want to talk about the show and how unfair it is that it didn't get renewed again, but hopefully it gets a third season and we'll talk about it next year, you know, or something right. like that.
I would want to give it his flowers. We could do that thing that we always do where we say, all right, we're going to talk about the Family Guy movie. Here's why you should watch Family Guy, even though it's problematic. Okay. And now we'll talk about the movie 45 minutes later. That's what the Tuca and Birdie episode is going to be. It's going to be like, all right, we're going to talk about Tuca and Birdie. Man, it's fucked up that they don't make any more of this. And then 50 minutes later, sorry. Okay. Episode one.
I think they'll give it another season, and I'm hopeful that it'll like really find its audience. I don't know. I don't want to talk about much of that more of it, but I don't know. I understand pairing it with Rick and Morty, but Rick and Morty fans suck. And I don't know if it was the right, I know you want to give it the best chance to get the most eyeballs on it, but also like Rick and Morty fans are negative assholes and they suck. And I've already seen so much negativity from them about Tuca and Birdie, which bums me out because frankly, Tuca and Birdie season 2 is a lot better than Rick and Morty season 5. So,
Tuca and Birdie ain't hurting nobody. They ain't doing anything to anybody.
That's exactly right.
It's so wholesome. It's just about friends. Everybody on Rick and Morty is an asshole that hates each other, and everybody on Tuca and Birdie is like very sweet and they love each other. And I think the fact that like the Rick and Morty fans are the ones that are like that hate that, I think that says a lot.
It does. I literally saw a comment the other day, or like a tweet, where someone was like, I don't like this show at all. It's not relatable. Can't wait for the next Rick and Morty. I'm like, bro, if you relate to Rick and Morty, then you're bad at being a person,
right?
Yeah. Like that's brutal, man.
Yeah,
like,
man. You can't relate to love and friendship.
Also, you don't actually relate to Rick. You want to relate to Rick, but Rick is unrelatable. He is not. You can't relate to Rick.
You know what? That's like. It's just a bunch of Morty's wishing they were Rick. It's like you ever hear someone say that like Bugs Bunny is who we want to be, but we're really Daffy Duck.
It's just that. That's
just
it's
a bunch
exactly
of Mortys
that
want to be Rick. That's all.
I love that. All right. Well, with that, let's talk about today's movie after the theme song.
I've been watching them for years. It's always been something that fit with all the animated characters that's doing their own bits. With a fry who's in the future and a Family Guy that sucks. With a father from a hill, a burger family runs amok. The show with spies is the same guy, except he totally say f***. End of verse.
Let's watch cartoons that
curse. What the f*** is up, everybody? Welcome to Cartoons That Curse. Wow, really fumbled that one. Welcome to Cartoons That Curse. The podcast. What are we doing? What is this? A podcast? The podcast where we talk about cartoons that swear.
Yeah.
We're recording a little late today and it's going poorly right now. But we're going to pick it up. Today we're talking about... Wait, I haven't let you talk. Tariq, this is my co-host Tariq. Tariq, talk.
Hi.
Say hello.
I'm speaking. How is everybody doing out there in podcast land?
This is a good start. This is a good start.
Yeah.
Today we're talking about Beavis and Butthead Do America. Ever heard of it? It's a movie about Beavis and Butthead in which they do indeed
do America.
Yeah. As you may know, we've been talking about movies the last few weeks. Our movies generally based on animated series. We did South Park, Big Alarm Uncut, Simpsons Movie, Stewie Griffin, The Untold Story, and now Beavis and Butthead Do America. And I fucking enjoyed the shit out of Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Damn. Okay, so I think I said it on the last episode, but I've never seen this film before. This is my first time watching this.
This is your first time?
Yeah, it's my first time watching this film.
Oh, man. Amazing.
And it fucking rocks. This movie is so fun. Like, it's relentlessly funny. I love just the escalating dilemma of it. Like, it's like, it starts you with, it's like, oh, somebody stole their TV. They just want to watch TV. And they just get into all of this shit. And it keeps going. And they keep, everybody takes them so seriously.
Right.
And everything is a misunderstanding. And even like, I think what's genius is even like at the end, they don't even like Beavis and Butthead don't even like react when, like, the closest thing to a reaction is that at one point when Beavis comes down from like that really wild high he has, he's like, wait, what's going on? Like, and that's it. Like, other than that, they don't care.
One of the, it's kind of weirdly, this is a weird comparison, but this movie has like almost a Forrest Gump thing going for it, where these two characters just fail their way into all of these situations. Like, and granted, they're like making a lot of the situations worse, unlike Forrest Gump, but like, it feels like they just continue to succeed in certain ways through their incompetence. You know what I mean? Like, it's very interesting. And we'll talk about that soon, because there's a lot I want to talk about with the main characters and like how this movie works and just like why this movie is so different. And the show is so different than a lot of the adult animated series we talked about. But I want to talk about Beavis and Butthead and the production of this movie first, because there's some like weird shit that you probably don't know.
Yeah, I know nothing. But, so
first of all, the craziest thing is they started developing a movie for Beavis and Butthead in 1993, which is the year the first season of Beavis and Butthead came out. They started developing it immediately. Wow. Beavis it's and like Butthead started. It is, exactly. Okay. It's very similar. And it was also Viacom, you know, it was on MTV. So like, it makes sense that that happened to both Beavis and Butthead and South Park. But they basically got a show because Mike Judge made two shorts. One of them is called Frog Baseball. It's just two black and white Beavis and Butthead shorts. And it's just these two idiots doing stuff. And they got this show. They conceptualized this whole thing of them watching MTV and like commenting on the music videos and all that. And then doing the little skits in between. But get this. The original live action, the original movie was planned to be live action. They were initially planning to do it live action, and this was as early as the mid-90s, like early to mid-90s. And the initial idea for casting was David Spade as Beavis and Adam Sandler as Butthead, pretty funny, in my opinion. But that just is bonkers to me. That they would even, I don't know how you do this movie live action. But the other weird thing is that Mike Judge is the one who kind of was continually like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. It was all like the execs at MTV who were like, we want to do a live action movie. Mm-hmm. And, or maybe it was the execs at whatever movie studio they had access to. But I think it was initially Universal. And once the rights went to Paramount,
really? Okay.
That's when it changed from live action to like, okay, we're just going to do a real Beavis and Butthead movie.
Okay.
But even more weirdly, for some reason in the last 10 years, Mike Judge has kind of softened on the idea of a live action Beavis and Butthead. Like, he initially was so against it. And now he's kind of like, we could probably do it, which is so strange to me. But I expect it will. I expect it will never happen, because now the show is getting revived for two seasons and another movie. They're doing another movie on Paramount Plus, which I'm very excited for. Very excited for more Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
And the show had a weird life cycle. It like ran for seven seasons initially, ending with the movie and then one final season. And it ended in like 97, 98. And then in 2011, they revived it for one more season, which is a really funny season of Beavis and Butthead. It's really good. And then it only lasted 1 year and it was over. And then 10 more years went by and they were like, well, we're going to bring it back again. Two season pickup, Comedy Central. Jeez. And allegedly it's coming out later this year. It's supposed to come out this year.
Jeez.
So we'll see how that goes. But Beavis and Butthead is a weird show. It's a very Gen X show. It's like punk rock television. I don't know if I think I maybe said this last week or another week, but It's totally the show that is like, fuck you, Dad. I'm watching Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. There's a lot of that energy.
Totally. And I think it's really funny. I think it's a really funny show. But one of the things I was thinking about so intensely while watching this movie is how freaking weird it is to have, to be able to follow a movie so cohesively and enjoyably where the two main characters have close to no real personality traits other than that they're dumb, horny teenagers. Like, they really don't have any personality or anything relatable about them in their characterizations.
Yeah, I guess not.
But it's funny.
Yeah, but I think that's what's so funny about it is that I'm like character analysis, the human being, you know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of that's my job. That's just what I do. I didn't think about any of that once. I just couldn't stop thinking about what are they doing? Like, what?
Right.
And it was really funny. Like, I wasn't worried about motivations or how the characters think about each other or anything like that. I didn't care. It was just a blast.
And to a degree, I think it doesn't matter with these characters.
Right.
Like, you kind of know all their motivations. One is to get their TV back, and two is to get laid. That's pretty much all of it. Yeah. That's all of it.
That's the thing, man. It's like, they have like, there's no aspirations, no dreams. They don't want to make any money. They don't want to do it. They just want to watch TV and have sex. And that's literally just all they want to do. And they can't do either. And it's so funny.
It's so, so, so funny.
It's so funny. The fact that, like, a big narrative thing in this movie is them misunderstanding a guy saying that he wants them to do his wife.
Yeah.
He's like, he's going to pay us to score with his wife.
It's so funny.
Then he gets there. He's like, are we going to do it?
Yeah. They have no, they just the whole time, like every single thing that they do is mm-hmm. fueled by a misunderstanding of what's happening. And did you know that? So the guy is played by Bruce Willis, which is pretty funny. The guy who hires them.
Oh, that's funny.
and then Dallas, the girl who he hires them to kill, she's played by Demi Moore. And they're like the only real, I think they're the only real guest voices in this movie. There might be one more. The old woman on the plane and the bus, Cloris Leachman, which is great. You love to see that. Yeah, and then pretty much everyone else is Mike Judge. Like, Mike Judge is playing Beavis, Butthead, Tom Anderson, Van Dreesen, McVicker. Mm-hmm. Like, he plays pretty much everyone.
The old woman on the bus is really funny.
She's really funny.
Because it's like, she thinks they're just really good kids, but they're like shitheads. But she doesn't know. Because she thinks, the conversation between her and Beavis murdered me when he kept saying, like, it's like, yeah, I hope there's a lot of sluts there. But she kept hearing like slots. She was like, there's a lot of slots.
And I think she brought it up. She's the one who brought it up. She's like, I'm going to do the slots. And Beavis is just like, there's got to be slots. that's a perfect Beavis and Butthead joke. Like, that's a perfect gag, is that he can only think about sex. So he hears slots as sluts. It's perfect for this movie. This is a movie of misunderstandings.
Yeah.
I really, really love that. But yeah, also just like we talked about earlier, the whole inciting incident is that they literally wake up and someone has stolen their television.
Right.
And that's how the movie starts. And the whole first act is them just walking around their town. What is it? Where they live, Highland or something. They're looking around Highland for their television, and they just like do the rounds, see all the main characters, see a bunch of like get in a bunch of trouble, cause a bunch of problems. And then it ends with them stumbling into a motel where the guy is like, you guys are the guys I'm going to hire to kill my wife, right? and that's how they get into the adventure. They just stumble into a motel room because they think there's a TV in there, which is fun. It's I like that kind of a story, you know, like Beavis and Butthead doesn't need, they like those characters almost need to be brought into a bigger story in that way because they don't have any motivation outside of television and sex. So like the only way they could have a big adventure and do America is by stumbling into it on accident, you know? Yeah. It's really funny.
So the way, I thought when I first was watching this movie, I thought that the title Beavis and Butthead Do America is because they think that they're about to go do Buddy's wife. So
I think that's part of it. I think that's part of it. Yeah. I think it's also because like the whole show just took place in their hometown and then they're mostly in their house. And so like this movie is them traveling around the whole country and seeing all these different sites and getting into a lot of different problems. Around the country, although there's plenty more places they could go. They could do America again for this sequel when they make the sequel. So it's really funny though. Like I even though the characters are like so stupid and have no real depth, they're so funny. They're so funny. We talked about this, but when they get to my favorite sequence I got two favorite sequences. I think that we're going to have the same two favorite sequences. The one I was thinking of though is when they get to the casino, the song Roller Coaster is playing, and it's just so much energy in that scene. And it's them like walking around the casino, staring at like the statue with the boobs. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite shot, there's a few shots in there, but like them on the dance floor. First of all, them dancing on the dance floor is so funny. Like their dances are so dumb and so funny.
It is really funny.
And then they do this incredible shot where the camera rotates around them.
They do like the Beauty and the Beast shot, but it's fucking Beavis and Butthead.
Yes!
And it goes all the way up and you see the disco ball. Yeah, and it's really rad. Because there's two instances in this movie where it switches to digital animation, and that's one of them. Mm-hmm. Because you know, like the lines are thicker. So there's that, and then there's the desert
trip,
right?
Yes, yeah. Which is also fucking amazing. We'll talk about that at some point. Yeah, we're talk about it now.
Oh man, that scene fried my brain,
dude. It's crazy. It's a crazy scene.
I was not well when I saw that the first time. I wasn't well at all, man.
I actually just watched it. I finished the movie just a couple hours ago, and it like I forgot about that sequence. It fucking blew my mind. And apparently that whole animated sequence, if you're not familiar, caught up with us, there's a sequence where they're walking through the desert and they both almost die and their life flashes before their eyes, and then all of a sudden they just start tripping balls, basically. And it is one of the craziest, trippiest, wildest animation sequences I've ever seen. I was reading about who animated it. He's a guy who's been animating on a bunch of shows ever since. But apparently it was all he was inspired by Rob Zombie's like imagery, which makes a lot of sense when watching it. Like feels pretty Rob Zombie. It's a guy named Chris Prynoski, who has animated on Metalocalypse, and Motor City and Megas XLR and Big Mouth and tons of stuff. Last Airbender. He did the animated episodes of Community, Venture Bros. Good stuff. A bunch of good stuff. But he was in charge of animating that sequence. He directed just that sequence. Okay. And it rules. That sequence is so fucking crazy.
It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, while we're on it, I think this movie is gorgeous. Like,
me too.
I love the way that this looks. I love because it was shot on film, so I love that already.
Right.
I love like the little, it's like the colors are a little muted, just a little bit. And it still looks like the show, but it feels massive somehow.
Yes.
And I don't know how they did it, but it feels... The entire movie feels. If I saw this in a theater, I'd probably cry. Like it.
Right.
I love.
I wish I had seen it in the
way. I love the way that this movie looks, and I. Even though, I mean, like, I guess objectively, right? Like, if you're talking like technicals and stuff, it doesn't look better than a Simpsons movie. But I think this is my favorite looking movie we've talked about.
I like how this looks better. And I was actually I like when it feels, it still feels tactile. You know what I mean? For lack of a better word. Like the Simpsons movie looks really good, but it feels so clean. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And this doesn't. And I love that. I love that it feels like it was drawn. Like I can see that it was drawn, you know?
And it's like, and it's all about the way that they go about it, right? Beavis and Butthead is animated in a different way than I've seen a lot of other shows animated, where it's like, so usually, right, in cell animation, what you'll do is you'll draw the character, but you'll draw them without their mouth, so you can place the mouth shapes over top, and like, so you don't have to keep drawing the character over. With Beavis and Butthead, they just draw the character over again,
right?
Because they jitter every time their mouth moves. And it's so fascinating to watch, and it makes them feel alive.
Man.
And I love it. I love it. Like, even just watching this movie, like, I couldn't get enough of like how it looked, and like the designs are just like, you can tell Mike Judge was like, okay, let me relax when he got the King of the Hill. But here it's just kind of like,
right.
They look like, everybody looks like a sketch you would do in the margins of a composition book.
Right, totally.
And that's, because that's one of the things I like about regular shows, that regular shows kind of like that, right?
Right.
Like Mordecai, Rigby, Skips, they all kind of like somebody you would draw while you're trying not to pay attention in chemistry.
Right, totally.
And I think they got that from Beavis and Butthead, because that's totally what the show looks like, and that's what this film looks like. And it,
dude,
it's massive, man. It feels real cinematic. It does.
Watching this movie, honestly, I already said this, but I love how the Simpsons movie looks, but it made me wish they made a Simpsons movie in the 90s. It made me wish they had made one in the 90s that looked and felt a little more like this, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, I mean, it's hard. You can't change history. But like, yeah, I don't know. Just like something that feels a little more like down and dirty, and like less of a sheen over the whole thing.
I just like when animation is done on film anyway.
Me too.
That's my favorite kind of stuff to watch. Like, I mean, like, yeah, you know, Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast. Beautiful.
Aladdin's
movies.
One of the best looking. Both of those are two of the best looking animated films.
They're beautiful. But they are like, they're not technically digital films, right? But they use the cap system.
They have some digital shit. Yeah.
They use the cap system, where it's like, those aren't cells. They were still drawn on paper, but they were like inked and painted through the computer, and that's why they have like colored outlines and stuff like that. But if you want to know my favorite looking Disney movie, it's a Goofy movie. And it's not the same studio. Not the same studio. But I love how a Goofy movie looks. And part of it is because they didn't use that method. A Goofy movie was, again, it was a different studio. It was the Lesser Studio. It's the studio that did like the DuckTales film. And then after they stopped doing theatrical stuff, they did the direct-to-DVD movies.
Mm.
But like, it is Disney Toon Studios. But like, they didn't have like those resources, so it had to be done on cells, and like it had to be shot on camera, and I love it. Like it looks so good, and that's the emotion I got when watching this movie, is like, because I love how King of the Hill looks before it switches to digital. I love how King of the Hill looks afterwards, but I love how it looks before.
I even like season one, where the character models are weird. Like, I love how that show looks.
That's what I was getting at. I was getting that energy. I'm like, oh, so this is exactly what I love about how King of the Hill looks, but it's in fucking widescreen. And like, I was like, man, I'm having a, from the very first shot with all of the people running, my brain instantly went, oh, this is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, and it's so sloppy, but I love that.
It's honestly, of all the things we've watched, it's one of my favorite. It's maybe my favorite looking thing of all the stuff we've watched on the podcast.
I agree.
It's so, it's just great. It's so great. It actually also made me excited, even though obviously we're not going to get a nice widescreen HD version, but it made me excited to go back and watch Beavis and Butthead and maybe do that, cover that on the pod. In fact, thanks to people who commented after we threw the question out last week, I ordered a bootleg DVD of the full series complete with music videos. I'm very excited, very excited to get that and start watching through some Beavis and Butthead, which is such a dumb show, but I'm very excited about it. You brought up King of the Hill. I wanted to bring this up. Tom Anderson is obviously proto Hank Hill.
Absolutely.
That's what he is in this show. And you know, you get a lot of people being like, he's basically a Hank Hill, but there is one very clear thing in this movie that indicates that Tom Anderson is not Hank Hill. He is not Hank Hill. And that is that on his Winnebago trailer, he uses a butane tank of gas.
Oh, I didn't, because I saw the tank, but I didn't know what it was. Okay,
He said it was butane. He mentioned butane. This Hank Hill.
It's not him, baby.
According to Hank Hill, butane is a bastard gas. So, put the theories to rest. They're not the same person, unless I don't know what possibly would have happened to make Hank turn his back on propane or ever use butane beforehand. So, but funny character regardless. Like, it's, I'm glad that he used that same characterization sort of for Hank Hill. Hank Hill's better, but like Tom Anderson is such a fun foil to Beavis and Butthead. And it actually, thinking about it right now, it kind of captures a lot of the same thing that King of the Hill captures, which is Hank's generational divide between him and his son in King of the Hill is so, and granted that they do it in a much more sweet, loving, familial, like story based way in King of the Hill, where Hank is learning and misunderstanding all of these things about the generation that's come after him because it just doesn't make sense to him. And that is very much how Tom Anderson feels with his relationship to Beavis and Butthead throughout the show and in this movie.
It's just played for laughs,
and it's played for, and also like they're not taking Beavis and Butthead's generation very seriously. That's true too.
Yeah. King of the Hill is like, it's not, because that's, I don't feel comfortable saying that it's played for drama, but like, because it's still funny.
But it's taken seriously.
It is seriously. Yeah. Like, it's too,
at least emotionally.
Like, right. And they take, I think that's what's cool about King of the Hill is like, they kind of trick you into feeling like they're not taking a side because they paint both sides like and articulate them really well.
Right.
The way you can, like, even if you completely disagree with where Hank is coming from, you can understand. Even and especially if you know his character, right? If you're a newcomer, you can understand. But especially if you know Hank and you know where he's come from and you know how he grew up, you can understand, like, okay, like, I get why he sees this the way that he does. And you can get Bobby. You can get Bobby being like, Dad, it's not 1979 anymore. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? We do things differently now. And this doesn't define you as a man anymore. You know, that kind of stuff.
Right. And that's obviously Beavis and Butthead is more playing to the conflict versus the understanding. Mm-hmm. It's just like Tom Anderson having all kinds of trouble with Beavis and Butthead doing dumb shit in and around his yard and in his shed, as we find out in the movie.
They were beaten off in his shed. That's nuts. And then that... All right. Because I watched this movie earlier today. I had to finish it today because I didn't finish it the first time I watched this movie. But the second time I watched it today, and I watched it with some friends. And like, I couldn't get over the fact that like in the climax of the movie where Beavis goes to beat off in Buddy's RV, he like he does it so ferociously that like the RV shakes. And that should not happen. Like, it's just you in there. What the hell are you doing to shake the RV?
Oh man. I guess we'll never know.
I don't know if we want to.
You're not even a little curious. No. How'd he do that? Oh man. Man, there is some the parts of this movie that I really remembered from a kid were mostly the White House stuff, like all the stuff in the White House, Beavis being Cornholio and like just being ridiculous, you know, Butthead getting thrown out the window by Chelsea Clinton. That was all the stuff that I remembered most vividly about this film from my childhood. And rewatching, I was like pretty happy that was just the third act. And like I was like, oh, there's so much more of this movie I don't remember. This is great. Do you have a favorite? I mean, do you have a favorite part or sequence of the movie?
I don't know. I think the movie is just like, I think the fun in the movie is like the fact that they damn near keep topping themselves. And that's what, right, I was having a blast with the whole time. There were two parts of the movie where I was like, all right, fam, this is nuts. Like, what are they doing? Like, and it was when they were on a plane. Which is insane. Like, first of all, when Butthead just comes tumbling through the aisle and lands, and he's like, can you do that thing with my belt again? And before that, actually, because he gets up to go talk to the stewardess, the flight attendant, and then he's like, come to Butthead.
Come to Butthead.
So creepy. It's so gross.
I liked their dream in the beginning too.
I love it.
I think he says it there too. Yeah, their kaiju Beavis and Butthead dream.
That's what when Beavis comes out, he says, "Cut it out! I'm trying to score." So there's that scene that I think is really nuts. The other one that I think is really nuts is when they're on the fucking highway and they jump out of the trunk and all of these accidents happen and it's nuts. I couldn't believe it. I was like,
and they just happened to find their bus because they caused the accident stopping their bus.
Right. And again, animated really well. Yeah. Like, especially I think the part that like, Because I saw that part twice. And both times it made me go, whoa, I think it was Butthead, when Butthead tumbles out. Because his part is nuts. Because his is like the rest of the accident. Like, Beavis is like the start of the accident. But Butthead, you see Butthead like go in front of cars and like go to the side a little bit and everything like that. Like, his when he jumps out, it's nuts. Yeah. The way the dilemmas is set up in this movie is really fun. I couldn't believe that it kept topping itself. Like, once the stuff about them thinking that they're gonna go like have sex with like this dude's wife, once that stuff was over, I was like, all right, is the movie gonna slow down for me? But nah, it was still it kept going, because I just thought that was so funny. I thought that was really, really funny.
The fact that the whole crux of the movie too is that like they are unwittingly carrying this like important government device, like this important government weapon device that and that they are oblivious to it literally the entire movie. They never realized that that was the case. No. Which is perfect. Like, they should never realize that. I think it's got me thinking, like, I hope for the second movie, whatever it is, like, I hope they do the same thing. Like, I can't imagine
I would love that
any song. Kind of Beavis and Butthead big story where they are really understanding and cognizant of, like, what is truly happening. So I hope they tap into that same energy and that same vibe for the characters in the next movie that they do. And I hope it's good. I'm really excited. I'm really excited for another Beavis and Butthead movie.
This is really the only way you could do something like this with these kind of characters. And they pull it off so well. Like, I got...
Right.
Like, you know, like, when we said we were going to do it, I didn't not think this was going to be a good movie. I did. I thought I did think I was going to have a good time, but...
Right.
Nah, I love movie. This. like I really love movie. This.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I didn't expect it to be like, I was kind of like, yeah, we'll cover Beavis and Butthead, but I didn't expect it to be like, oh, is this like up there with almost my favorite of the four we've talked about. Like, it's like really tight. It's like a really tight race between South Park, Beavis, and Simpsons for me. Yeah, like, they're like, I love them all for such different reasons. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was because this was such a fresh like experience and I'd only seen it when I was really young that I was just like, man, this just feels like I had seen the South Park and Simpsons movie so many times. And so watching this one, I was like, this feels so new and fresh and fun, even though it's 20 years old and I've seen it before. Yeah.
You know, like we talked about on the pod, like I love the Simpsons movie. I love the Simpsons movie a lot. However, I did feel like, because I rewatched it for the first time in a couple years, like a couple weeks before we agreed to do it on the pod. Mm-hmm. So that was my rewatch. And then we did it again on the pod. So I watched it again. And then, like, I did remember kind of feeling like, damn, I think I might have, like, in my adult years, I think I might have played the Simpsons movie out. Like, as a kid, mm-hmm. I didn't. I watched it all the time. But, like, as an adult, I'm like, oh, I've seen this twice this year, and I think this might be enough for this year. You know what I mean? Like, I think that might be enough here.
Even watching it, that was the first time I watched that movie in years, and I enjoyed it. I truly enjoyed it. A lot of the stuff I enjoyed about it when I was a kid, I still enjoyed. But I remember, I think it moved down in my head a little bit. Like, I think it was a little better in my memory than it was upon rewatch. And that's not to say I disliked it, because I truly do like that movie a lot. Whereas the South Park movie, weirdly, just South Park movie, I just like more every time I watch it.
It's just so it's so funny, and it's like frustratingly good because of all the things that are good about that movie are the things that like you wouldn't expect to be good about that movie, and that's what makes that movie really rad. Like. Right. You don't expect to come out and say, oh, yeah, the best thing about it was the music. Like, you don't expect to say that, but it's really fucking good music.
It's really good music.
And who did the score for this? Whoever did it did a really, really good job.
I forgot to look into that.
Because I love the score.
A guy named John Frizzle who did the scores for... He's basically Mike Judge's guy, it looks like. He did...
Okay.
Did his movie, so he did Beavis and Butthead Do America and Office Space. Have you seen Office Space?
Mm-mm.
Office Space is a really good movie. If you like this and you like Mike Judge, you should watch Office Space. Office Space is really funny. It looks like he also did all the music for King of the Hill as well. So there's that. He's done a bunch of other movies. I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Alien Resurrection, the fourth Alien movie. 13 Ghosts, Ghost Ship, Dante's Peak. The Reaping, Gods and Generals, and you know what he's doing right now?
What are you doing?
A current running show that you really like that we'll probably talk about in this pod at some point.
He's doing Tuca and Birdie?
Nah. Duncanville.
Oh, I love Duncanville.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty rad. You know what I found out? Was that yesterday? It might have been yesterday. You know what I found out yesterday? As you know, Hans Zimmer did the Simpsons movie.
Simpsons movie.
But I found out that they called them again to do the Longest Daycare. Huh. That Maggie short. I didn't know that. He does that too.
You know what was kind of weird to me that I meant to bring up on our Simpsons episode and didn't? Hans Zimmer did a great job. Obviously, great choice to do the score for the Simpsons movie. But it's weird that they didn't ask Danny Elfman, who composed the theme song.
Yeah. They kind of just... That's how the show was, though, right? Like, they had Danny do the theme,
and then
they just never called them again. Yeah, like... Yeah. They just never called them again. Like, I don't know.
It is pretty weird. But it also feels like you know, and I'm sure, you know, the crazy thing is I'm sure Danny Elfman has made so much money on that song over his career.
It almost would have felt right
to be like, oh, let's, he did the theme song, and he's, and since has become a very big, like, well, I guess he was already kind of becoming a big movie composer already, but yeah, it's just surprising. And he also weirdly, like, Danny Elfman feels like he fits a Simpsons movie. You know what I mean? Right. Granted, Hans Zimmer did a great job, and he made it feel big and epic and like large scale. And I think he did a great job. But I was just surprised Danny Elfman wasn't the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought about it like that. But yeah.
John Frizzell killing the game with Mike Judge's work. Let's watch Office Space sometime. It's a good movie. I think you'll like it.
Okay.
It's a funny movie. Very funny movie. I owned Office Space on PSP. Had a little disc for my PSP.
Now we're talking. Hey, you know what I had on PSP? I had
what?
These are the two sickest movies. And you got to remember how old that was. What year was that? Was that? Fuck.
Probably 2004, 2005, maybe.
Really?
Let's see. PSP came out in 2005 in North America.
Five?
2005.
Okay. Well, yeah, so I guess it was 2005 because I got it when it came out. So 2005. Yeah. This is 2005, 2006. And you got it. How old was I, man? I had to be like 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the two movies that I owned. I had to preface it with how old I was so you can see how gross this is. I had The Pursuit of Happiness. You know what that is?
Will Smith and Jaden Smith, right?
Right. So I had that. I had The Pursuit of Happiness, and I had the Wayans Brothers movie Little Man.
Amazing.
Two of the grossest Little movies Man. For a child to own portably. And I had them both.
I forgot about Little Man Little until Man. Right now.
Little Man probably sucks.
I don't think I ever saw it.
I've seen Little Man a lot because I had it on PSP. That's, and it probably sucks. The Pursuit of Happiness doesn't suck, though. I still like The Pursuit of Happiness a lot.
Dude, also, Jaden Smith has given some good performances, man. And he's not really an actor. He doesn't really do much acting anymore, but he is really good in that. And then he's really good in The Karate Kid.
Like, he's like, it's not like, oh, he's good for his, he's really, like, the part where you, I make fun of it a lot, but, like, the part where he's like, I hate it here. Yeah. Like, it is really powerful. He's, like, crying and shit. Like,
he's really good.
Can you believe him?
I saw that with Mikey. Mikey and I went to see The Karate Kid in the theater when it came out. And we both kind of went in thinking, like, this probably won't be too great. And we walked out really enjoying it. We were like, that was a good movie.
Right, movie rules. How do you guys feel about the fact that they don't do karate?
You know, I feel like it's not a thing I care about personally, but but it seems to be a thing other people care about.
I did think it was funny and kind of weird that they this is the Karate Kid, but he's not gonna do karate. Like, it's
they just needed that IP.
Yeah.
But not only was Jaden great. Jaden was great, Jackie Chan, incredible in that movie.
He's
so good, so good. Both give incredible emotional performances.
Absolutely,
I got to rewatch that movie. Karate Kid, good remake, very good remake. Liked it a lot. Anyways, how do we get onto that?
Fuck! How did we do that?
That's really funny. Because we were talking about movies that we had on PSP. That's a fun tangent. That's a funny tangent. Yeah. Oh, man. Anyways, so Beavis and Butthead Do America. Very funny, stupid movie. I love the ending when they, like, save the day, quote unquote, and they meet the president. Bill Clinton, very funny Bill Clinton impression. Right. And Bill Clinton is just like heralding them as like a real like real heroes and like a tribute or basically just saying like you really represent your generation well, and they have no idea what's happening in that scene. They have no idea whatsoever. It's so funny to me, and it kind of feels like a dig at their generation, like of like getting the president to be like, you are a credit to your generation,
right? Yeah.
And it's Beavis and Butthead. it's so funny to me. Man, what other parts of this movie were fun to talk about?
I do like the reveal of the fact that like the two guys that were supposed to do the hit were the guys that stole the TV.
Yes,
and they
revealed
that's a
funny
that
reveal.
Really early. Yeah, and I thought that was rad. And then the fact that that's the movie ends with them finding the TV where exactly where it was left. Because it's so shitty that nobody picks it up. I was like, oh, this is like the best way you could pop. And then they fucking, all right, so they fucking walk into the sunset, which is like, I remember watching, you remember when like VH1 would do those like, I love this decade. Like I love the 90s.
The 80s. Yeah, yeah.
I love
oh, yeah,
the 80s.
I remember it.
Like, yeah. So I used to watch those as a kid when they would air, because they would air all the time and like they would be reran and stuff like that. And the one in the 90s did, you can't do a 90s one without talking about Beavis and Butthead. So they do.
Right.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder, I don't think I remember them talking about Simpsons. But anyway, now I have to rewatch those.
You know, you know what? You know why they probably were able to talk so much about Beavis and Butthead is because I'm pretty sure VH1 is also Viacom.
It is. You're absolutely right.
So they probably didn't have to deal with getting the rights to talk about Simpsons on their show. Yeah.
But they did spend a little time on Beavis and Butthead. And I just remember the segment ending with a shot of them walking into the sunset. And I never knew where it was from. And now when I saw the film, I was like, oh, this just transported me to 15 years ago. and I finally know where this comes from. Thank you.
I love that.
Beavis and Butthead for doing America. I appreciate it.
I loved when they went to the Hoover Dam. And like just wandering the area where they're controlling everything. And but my favorite thing is when they're like looking at all the TVs, like, look at all these TVs. And then he's just like, it's just all of this is water shows or something like that. And he's like talking about how everything on TV is just water channels.
I thought you were gonna say they were like, we're in Washington. She's like, no, we're at the Hoover Dam. You said, we're in Washington. That killed me, man. And then she told them that they were at the Hoover Dam, and then they pressed her, and then she just kind of like let them have it. And then like later when like they were like, wait, why are we getting back on a bus? We're in Washington. And she's like, like, no, we're at the Hoover Dam. She repeats herself.
We're a long way from Washington. Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
she repeats herself.
From Washington. Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, okay. So it's like, you heard her the second time, but the first time you weren't buying it.
There are so many fun, tiny, small scenes that are just like entertaining as hell. Like, I loved why they got left behind by that bus was because Butthead was so fascinated by the automatic flushing urinals. That is so stupid, but such a perfectly Beavis and Butthead idea. Like, oh, if he's never seen those before, of course he would be obsessed with that. That's
right,
so
right.
stupid.
I love where they get, first of all, they get on a bus with a bunch of nuns. They get on the wrong bus after that. Mm-hmm. They get on the bus with a bunch of nuns, and then they just, we're on a bus with chicks, that's really fun. And then they get off and then they like walk into church and they find like the confessionals, but they think that they're porta potties. And he's like, I gotta take a dump. But they go inside and then like, they like listen to the guy's testimony. The guy's like, I had sex with another woman. He's like, was she naked? Did you see her boobs? Like, what? And then Beavis is just making Buddy just Beavis is just making Buddy like hit himself and like smack himself and shit.
Right.
And then when they come out, they get struck by lightning. And that's so funny.
I forgot about that. That was such an interesting move. It was like, oh damn, yeah. This movie very much believes in God, apparently.
Yeah. The wrath of God. Yeah. The wrath of God got Beavis and Butt. And I think that's the perfect icing for that scene. You know what I mean?
Right.
It still would have been great. I don't want to say it's the icing. I want to say it's the cherry. You know what I mean? It's a little dab. Because they could have not did that. And it still would have been like really, really funny. Really just funny. The concept of like Buddy walking in and he's like, I gotta take a dump. Like, what the fuck? Like, but like, nah, the fact that like they cap it off with the with the lightning is so funny. I love that. It completes.
Yeah, that's great. And then I also love that the nuns willingly leave them behind. They're like, we do not want to deal with these kids anymore. And they just leave them on purpose. That's so funny. Yeah, that's great. That's really good. Man, it's so funny because there's like, the movie is so funny. There's so many fun locations, so many places, so many things that are fun and funny about the movie. But it's like, it's just dumb fun. There's so little to talk about on any like particularly analytical level. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's mostly just, what if the dumbest people failed their way across America and had the FBI and ATF chasing them?
Right.
Because they were trying to get laid and didn't know what was happening. So I'm like, I'm trying to think of what else there is to even like dive into about this movie, but
I will say this was really fun to watch, but like it was impossible to take notes for because I just wrote either lines that I thought were funny,
yes,
or like bits that I thought were funny, like because I feel like South Park movie and the Simpsons movie in particular, we did spend a lot of time on character, which really does provide like a lot of like interesting conversations because you could say like, well, why did they do this? Why did they do that? Why do these characters feel this way about each other? But here it's just kind of like, now we're just listing off of greatest hits of like why this movie is so funny and why it's so rad. We could talk about them meeting their dads.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
We could talk about them meeting their dads, which is like, I think that's hilarious. The fact that like they didn't realize they were meeting their dads, but they were having a conversation with their dads about them scoring with their moms.
Right. It's like,
you guys scored with two chicks.
And the funny thing is that like, I'm pretty sure in the show and obviously in this movie, like, I don't think we ever see their parents. I think there's a what's the kid's name? Stuart, I think. There's a boy in Highland who they like see a lot. Stuart, Beavis and Butthead. And I think you see his parents, but you never ever see Beavis or Butthead's parents. They just seemingly live in a house together.
Right, yeah.
Alone. You don't ever see anyone else. It's pretty funny. It's pretty.
And then
weird.
There's the part where they like, where the lobs flash before their eyes, and like they're just sitting there, like even
sitting
as like
on the
infants.
Couch.
Yeah. So it's like, did they ever live with anyone?
Right. My favorite part about that is they go through his life flashes before his eyes, and you just see them grow up on the couch laughing together, and then Butthead goes, "Whoa. My life was cool." like that was a good life to him. If he had died, he would have been like, I had a good life. That's how Butthead felt about that. It's so funny to me.
I will say that like, man, the little noises Butthead makes, how can I word this? The first time I watched this movie, I said I was not well. And that stimulated my brain. the noises he kept making, like I was like, for something about the pattern, like it mellowed me. Like I was like, everything's gonna be okay because Butthead's okay.
That's great. The other thing that's kind of funny about Beavis and Butthead was like, is the Daria angle, like the fact that Daria was in the show initially, and mm-hmm. there's that spin, and then it spun off, and it's just totally such a different thing. It's totally its own thing, which is also a show we need to talk about on this podcast because Daria rules. But Daria is a show where there's actually stuff to dive into on Daria, you know, like that's a show where there's plenty to dissect. I'm excited to talk about Beavis and Butthead on this podcast, but it's going to be weird because like those episodes I think are going to fly by because we're basically just going to be talking about how dumb and funny our favorite things about it are. Like what is there to really dissect about Beavis and Butthead's characterizations, you know? But that's okay. Like that's fun. I think that's going to be a good time to just talk about, you know, them hitting frogs with baseball bats and beating off in sheds. You know, it's going to be stupid as hell. And I'm so curious what this revival will be like. I felt like the revival in 2011 was maybe a little, it got a little more story focused. I think they still did a lot. They still did all of them, like them watching MTV and shit.
Right.
But it was like, Teen Mom and Jersey Shore. They were watching 2011 MTV, which is very funny. But what the hell is it going to be now? Like,
I don't even know what 2021 MTV is.
I don't think they're going to be watching.
And fuck! It's Comedy Central. Well, maybe they'll just do Comedy Central.
But I think the last season aired on Comedy Central as well. They were just able to air MTV. I think so.
Oh yeah, I don't even know what the fuck. Catfish? Like, are they just gonna watch Catfish all day and Ridiculousness?
So part of me thinks that they are probably gonna go a totally different direction with what Beavis and Butthead are watching. Like, I think they've talked about how they want it to be more like if the show, they're not aging up the characters, and therefore they are now Gen Z. You know what I mean? Like, they're not Gen X anymore. And in 2011, they were millennials. You know, and so.
What if they just do a Ridiculousness thing or like a Tosh.0 thing and they just watch like viral shit?
I was kind of thinking like, and I don't know if it will be like that formatted like Ridiculousness or Tosh, but like I do feel like the natural thing for them to be watching as Gen Z characters is YouTube and TikTok, you know? Like is what will they be commenting on? That is like, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting thing to find out. Allegedly, we'll find out within a few months. I mean, it's like supposed to come out this year, which is bonkers.
I don't know. They might be boondocking it. Boondocks. They waited till the end of 2021 to take coming in 2020. They waited till the end of 2020 to take the coming in 2020 thing out their bio on Instagram. Right. Yeah, because they kept saying, the Boondocks, and then they realized
that was in the works. That was in the works for a while, right? So the thing is that they announced the Beavis. They announced the Beavis and Butthead revival in the middle of the pandemic in 2020. So like, pandemic production.
Yeah, they did because delay. Did they come out with the Clone High news?
Yeah, basically around the same time, there was tons of that stuff coming out. It was that Clone High, Ren and Stimpy, and then like the Daria spinoff.
Fucking hell.
That Daria spinoff
thing was real, huh?
Yeah, Jody, man, they're making Jody. We're gonna have both two new Beavis and Butthead universe things happening on Comedy Central within the next year or so, which is bonkers. I don't know if they just were like, because of the pandemic, they were like, we got to get some animated shit rolling because people can animate from home or whatever, you know. But
that sounds about right to me.
Yeah, it works for me. Sense. I'm cool with 2-season pickup of Clone High and a 2-season pickup of Beavis and Butthead. That sounds good to me. I'm kind of surprised they didn't. I'm kind of surprised they didn't just do a full on Daria reboot, though. You know, like, I mean, a spinoff is cool. I think Jody will be a cool show, but that's kind of surprising that's the one they're like, let's spin off Daria. You know,
yeah,
which is in itself a spinoff.
I know. Right. I know Jody has like kind of like
a following.
Yeah, like definitely. So I think that might be. But I think I don't quote me really on this, but I think the actress, because first of all, they recasted Jodi because I think they're trying to get Tracee Ellis Ross to do it.
She has been cast as Jodi in the reboot or in the
right. Scene. And I think Tracee Ellis Ross was part of the reason it happened. I think she was like fighting for it or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, that spinoff of a spinoff thing is really interesting. It reminds me of Norman Lear and how there's All in the Family. And then there's like Maude, and there's the Jeffersons, and then right. There's Good Times comes from Maude,
right? And there's so many off of that.
Yeah, yeah, it just keeps going.
Crazy. You just don't see it much with animated stuff.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's true. Actually, I can't.
And it's also interesting because, like, that. I mean, I guess this was the case back then too, but like, I feel like. Like the Cleveland Show spun off from Family Guy, and that's like a more a closer equivalent from because it's animated and the time period is closer, right? So that feels, but that was very much a like the people who make Family Guy want to make a Cleveland show. They want to do a Cleveland focused show, whereas this was someone from someone wanted to do something with the character Daria and spun it off, and Mike Judge didn't have anything. Was not involved in the production or creation of Daria, right? Which is interesting. It's like, and so like, and I don't know who's doing, is Grace Edwards doing, or sorry, Grace Edwards is doing Jodi, who, was she a writer? Was she like, was she involved in the other show? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because Daria was created by Glenn Eichler and Susie Lewis Lynn, who, how did that even happen? Were they on Beavis and Butthead?
Maybe this is another thing like that, right? Maybe this is somebody like how those two saw Daria and said, we want to do something with this one.
Right.
Maybe this is someone who saw Jodi and was like, I feel like Jodi didn't get as much to do as I feel like she deserved to on Daria. Right. So let me step in and try to do it. It's interesting that it keeps happening with the, just that like pocket of characters, but shit, right. I ain't mad at it. I think it'd be cool if that kind of shit happened more often because I don't know. Cleveland Show Family Guy, right? Like, you know, if you actually watch both shows and like get out of the mindset of, oh, this is just Black Family Guy, if you watch both, you'll realize, oh, they tell stories different, they tell jokes different, there's different characterization. Like, these are different shows.
Right.
In every sense. Like, even in the art, like there's Cleveland Show characters that would stand out like a sore thumb if they were in the background in Family Guy. Right. You know what I mean? Like, they are different shows. However, they aren't starkly different. Like, Daria and Beavis and Butthead are, like, on two different ends of... Like, you can't compare the shows.
Right.
You can compare Cleveland Show and Family Guy. They're different.
Yeah.
But you can compare them. But you can't compare
Daria and Beavis and Butthead are so different.
Right. And I think... That kind of stuff should happen more often. I think that, like, if you were to spin off an animated show, just fucking do something like...
Yeah, dude, like, Cheers and Frasier have pretty different vibes. You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty good example of a spinoff feeling a lot different than the original. But it's still not even as drastic as the Beavis and Butthead to Daria turn. I'm looking at Grace Edwards' writing history. Pretty, a lot of great stuff. She's a writer assistant on Broad City, which is awesome. And then she story editor and writer on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and wrote an episode of Insecure and is now doing Jodi.
Does it say which episode of Insecure?
Low Key Trying.
I think that's, is that 3? That might be season 3. I can't remember which season was the Low Keys.
Season 4.
4. Fuck, they took my insecure card. Fuck.
Now you're feeling a little insecure about it.
Yeah, very much so. We should talk about Insecure on the podcast. I need an excuse to talk about Insecure.
Dude, Let's break the rules, man. We blow up, once this podcast blows up, nobody is going to care what we talk about.
Yeah, man.
They'll want to hear us just talk about anything.
Let's just break, man. When we sign that Patreon deal and sign our lives away, I'm trying to, fuck it. Shows that curse. Fucking shows that swear.
That should be, I mean, I feel like with the Patreon stuff, we can talk about whatever we want, right? I think we should stick to the cartoons that curse. But if we do a Patreon where we're making bonus content, we'll talk about whatever we want and whatever people want to hear. We're going to do Drunk Shrek, man.
I can't fucking wait to do Drunk Shrek. I can't
start that soon.
I love getting drunk for my job. Like, that is the best, that is one of the, some of the best things that I've been able to, I've been gifted with the chance to do with this career path that I've chosen. Cause I've done it a couple of times on Sketch the Rhyme. Pretty unprovoked. Like, some days I'll just text the chat and I'll just say drunk pod with a question mark. And whoever got drinks, whoever don't, but I got them.
Hell yeah. Dude, I definitely want to do that. I'm excited to talk about Shrek. I'm excited to drink. We never really drunk and talked before, have we?
I don't think so. I don't think so either. Every time I've been intoxicated, I don't think you've been around. Cause I got really drunk one night when Keeks was trying to show all of us Jack Stone Wants to Be Famous. I had a blast. And I think we watched the Lifetime movie after that.
Hell yeah. That's a fun combo. Man, well, do you have much more to say about Beavis and Butthead Do America? What else do we got here?
All I have written down are a couple quotes, man. Right. I can read them off.
Yeah, read your quotes. Let's talk about them. Let's talk about your quotes.
When they went to the dam... And then he says, "Is this a goddamn?" I thought that was funny. And at the end, where they like save the day, and Butthead goes, "Does anyone want to see my unit?" I thought that was funny too.
That's good stuff. This movie, they're such dumb characters, and they're so fun. Apparently there's a deleted scene where they're at the National Archives and Beavis tries to use the restroom but can't because there's no toilet paper, which ties into his cornholio thing. Like, I need teepee for my bum.
Yeah, okay, yeah. For my bum.
And Butthead's angry because the urinals lack the automatic flushing things that they had at Yellowstone.
That's funny.
I know.
That's so funny.
But apparently, the reason they cut it is because the way that they solve the scene is they're at the National Archive. And Beavis steals the Declaration of Independence to use his toilet paper.
Oh, it's so funny, though. Why don't they?
It's so funny.
They should have let them do that. Hey, you know, there is in the Simpsons comics. Okay, we're branching off into a completely different universe here. But in the Simpsons comics, they do a joke that, like, I haven't read that specific issue. I don't even know what number it is. I haven't read that in at least 10 years, but I always remembered it because it felt like something they would have done in the show, and I thought it was really, really funny. Lisa was really upset about the options at school for like the lunch, and there wasn't really like healthy options, anything like that. And then she was venting about it at the dinner table, and Homer says, "No vegetarian options? That's unconstitutional." And Lisa says, "Dad, no, it's not." He says, okay, well, it is now. And he goes in a closet and pulls out the Constitution and he starts writing on it. And it, like, there's a panel of Lisa, like, hyperventilating. Like, she's like, no, you can't do that.
That's super funny. Why did Homer have the Constitution?
I have no idea, but I never forgot it because I thought that was really funny. Like, I was like, this is something that's on par with that joke in The Date of Violence Died. Because I remember I was talking to Bree about it recently, where Bart says, "Dad, can I have $1,000?" He just fucking pulls his wallet out. He starts to
what for?
He just has it in his wallet.
Good stuff. Can't wait to talk about The Simpsons. Got to say that every time we talk about The Simpsons.
Right.
It's going to be great. We got at least 10 more years of content to talk about on this podcast. So yeah. Buckle up.
Buckle up.
There's also apparently a alternate scene that they did. Because this came out in 96, and that was when Bill Clinton was running for re-election against Bob Dole. And so they did an alternate version of the scene where Butthead goes into Chelsea Clinton's room. Mm-hmm. And the only difference was going to be that she was going to be packing to leave the White House.
Oh.
Not just making her bed. Yeah. And apparently... Judge called that early, though. He's like, he said early on, he's like, oh, he didn't think Bill Clinton was going to lose. So they just went with the other one. Oh, and they were right.
That's pretty smart, though. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of, it's got South Park vibes with their, ill-fated attempts to predict some of these presidential elections.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. I don't have much else to say about Beavis and Butthead Do America. How about you?
Me neither. But it was really fun and it was really hilarious. Fun.
I love it so much that I like honestly talking about it. I kind of want to put it on again and just watch some of the sequences again, or maybe the whole thing again. It's really funny. But very good movie, very fun movie, really good looking movie. And there's not movies like this. Like, there's not movies like this that are just so dumb and fun. They're just nonstop dumb fun and not much in terms of characters to deal with on any substantial level. But a good time, a good watch, probably a great drunk watch.
Gotta be. Yeah, it has to be. I wouldn't see it any other way.
Oh, man. We're still figuring out what we're going to do next week. We know we want to get back to Archer. We've got to get back to Archer, but I'm going out of town briefly for a wedding. And so this week we don't, and Tariq's busy on Wednesday, which means we have to record in a new episode in like 2 days. That means we really have to figure it out. So what we're going to try to do, I think we'll let you guys know. You're probably going to see after this episode, you're probably going to see the Bender's Big Score episode that we did months ago. And we might then try to parlay that into just finishing up the Futurama movies and then going back to Archer. And we're very sorry for all of the people who are desperate for more Archer. We're very excited to get back to Archer.
Man, you've been reading them comments of people saying like, all right, I'm finally watching along with y'all, and then they're on like season five now. Like, it's,
I know.
Sorry.
Someone said they watched Archer twice, and we still haven't talked about Archer season two. They said we watched Archer season two twice, and I feel so bad. I'm so sorry to whoever did that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But I promise we're going to talk about Archer at some point. In fact, what we're going to do is like once if we can get all this lined up and all of our stuff scheduled out properly, we're going to release a schedule for the first time. Of like officially, here's what we're doing. We're gonna be able to do it. We're gonna get it done, and we'll have. And it'll likely be. There's a chance that it'll be next week, Bender's Big Score, and then we're back to Archer. But I think more likely and hopefully it will be Bender's Big Score, Beast with a Billion Backs, Bender's Game, Into the Wild Green Yonder, and then back into Archer. And that will allow us to get ahead of our schedule, get a bunch of episodes knocked out, ahead of time and have more time to watch through some of this Archer stuff and just get some of that stuff rolling. And also, I'm really excited. I really want to talk about Futurama again. That was our first thing we talked about.
And, I miss Futurama.
Yeah, me too. And Tariq hasn't seen one of these movies and barely remembers the other two. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about because it'll be
all really fresh.
Exactly. Exactly. And we have a pretty exciting guest lined up for one of these too. And a couple of these, we have a really exciting guest lined up for a couple of these. So stay tuned for that. Tariq, you got anything else you want to talk about today? Want to talk about anything non-podcast related? How are you? You feeling okay?
Oh man. Are any of us feeling okay? You know, like really, like if you really think about just the landscape of what it means to be a human, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to do this.
Getting
bit.
Real existential.
I'm not going to do this bit. It's like, you ever see, there's a Fresh Prince gag where they go on like a game show and Carlton, they ask him like a simple question. I think it's like a best friends game show or something like that. They ask him a simple question, I think, about Will. And then Carlton says, all right, well, before I answer this, let's back up and talk about this little thing called friendship. Well, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
I love Carlton. What a good show.
Let's talk about Fresh Prince.
I love Fresh Prince, man.
Yeah, I do too.
This is going to turn into a podcast where we just talk about whatever we want. We
I hope so. You ever notice how like they have the kid? He's like a baby for one season, and the next season he's like fucking five.
Yeah, he grew up really fast. Really fast. That's so funny. Well, I don't know. I don't think I have much else to say either. I'm excited to go out of town. Going to go party and have a wedding. That'll be nice. I finished this job. I'm excited to get my life back on track. Get back into the gym very often, and
And get some little gains in.
Hell yeah! Get some gains in. And then and get my social life rolling again. Get more videos. Get my sponsorships knocked out. There's a lot. There's a lot I want to do. I'm excited. I'm excited to have a life again. Until this thing I worked on gets picked up, and then I'm back at it. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. No, but it'll be worth it. It'll be fun. It was a fun job. I'm excited to talk about it when I can. Anyways, I don't know. I don't think that's it. I think that's it. You got anything?
Yeah. Nah, I mean, when you first asked me if I had anything else, I was leaning close to the mic because I was going to say no really closely. But then you asked me how I was, which is why I froze and started doing a bit. That was it.
I guess with that, I want to say thank you to Michael Yunez for producing and editing this podcast. Thank you to Carrie Feek for our amazing artwork. Thank you to Jake Neutron for that incredible theme song. We might hit you up about an alternate theme song in the future. That's going to be played for one miniseries, and it'll be a lot of fun. Right. Thank you to you, Tariq, for talking about Beavis and Butthead with me today. It was
a
pleasure.
Thank you to you for thanking me.
Yeah, you're welcome. There we go. Yeah. And with that. With that, thank you very much. I love you, and goodbye.